Victory Monday on B. Mitch and Finley, presented by Chenega Myos. Visit MyosCareers.com to view open positions and apply today. As he does every time on Victory Monday, Ahmet's incredible. He sends in lunch. This should be Ahmet's theme song because he just does it big, whatever it is.
Big Pippin.
He said he was going to send us cheesesteaks. I thought it was just going to be 4 cheesesteaks. He sends in an army of Cheesecake Factory food. My guy Brock ran in here and stole those crab balls with the quickness.
They're good.
They were good. Those, what do you call those? Samosas? Like the little Indian pastry with chicken in there? Banging. What'd you get? Hot sauce?
Yeah.
Man. I didn't even know Cheesecake Factory made cheesesteaks. These things are, it's called the Cheesesteak Factory. Banging. Thank you, AD.
It's good. Yes, it is.
All right, phone lines are packed. People want to share the excitement, the fun, some problems out there. Let's start with our guy, Telly. Telly, what's up, man?
Hail to the Redskins, B. Mitch, Philly. What's poppin'?
What's up, man?
Hey, look, man. Hey, I like what I saw from Heineke, man. That was the best game I seen him play. It was complete. As far as Heineke, he always had a skill. He to me was always a game player. But what stood out most to me is the difference in the game calling with Scott Turner. Okay, last week, this week, he was consistent and staying with the run. When you stay with the run, you take the pressure off your quarterback. By taking the pressure off the quarterback, Heineke is now seeing the field. He's running when he needs to run. He can see his check downs. He's playing comfortable. He's playing more free. When you take the pressure off the quarterback with a running game, you get a more complete football team, and your offense and your defense is not that they're rested. When they come on the field, then they can fire off the ball. The two defensive ends that you got playing right now, they are a complete downgrade from the two guys that are hurt. So don't get it twisted. The two guys that are hurt, come back and play with the Bama boys. You will see a more crucial defense out there. Don't get it twisted.
Thank you, Telly.
Scans. I want to see consistency. Thank you.
Don't we all? Appreciate all right, you, man. Telly. Telly's fired up. When Telly's energetic like that, you know this town's buzzing for the Washington football team.
Buzzing, huh?
Usually Telly sounds quite buzzed. He sounded very alert right there. Even his typical, he still says the old name, hail to the Redskins. Today it was hail to the Redskins. I've noticed a difference there, B.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't like low key, like feeling good Telly today.
Right. Yeah. Let's go to Rick. Rick, what's up, man? You're on the Gambit DC listener line.
Okay. What I want to say is, man, let's stick with our quarterback, what we have, man. Heineke, he's doing a great job. I mean, he's doing a lot better. Look what he's playing with. He's playing with a third, fourth string tight end, a depleted wide receiver core, offensive line banged up, and the man's still getting the job done. He's growing and learning game by game. So don't give up on him. We need to continue to build in the draft with the best available player, not just go looking for a quarterback every year in the first round. Get your quarterback whenever he's available, but continue to get the best available player. We need shutdown cornerbacks. We need depth at offense and defensive line, linebacker core, and also receiving core.
Thank you, Rick. They just took a linebacker in the first round. Surely they don't need another one. We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
In the receiving core we started with, I don't see where it's depleted. It's way better than it was last year.
But I would still love if they could add, like, look at what Devontae Smith's doing at Philly. I mean, I would not be averse to a first-round receiver because they could use a star.
But what I'm saying is this. Only person that's not playing in the receiving core is Curtis Samuel. And he didn't play last year. So I don't see where it's so depleted. I think the receiving core is better this year than it was last year. Terry is still leading the way. But
Carter's playing well.
You know,
like Carter's kind of become that.
He's been a damn upgrade.
That Steve Sims role, and he's been better.
He's been an upgrade.
Humphries, CK loves Humphries. Humphries has played pretty well in the slot. He's not making it's not volume, but it's important when he makes plays.
Yeah, quality over quantity.
He's
a veteran player and understands how to step up in the right situation.
For sure. Let's go to Harry and Frederick. What's up, Harry? You're on with B. Mitch Finley.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Harry?
Hey, what's up, B? Hey, this is history repeating itself. You guys remember, I go way back to 1965. I was a five-year-old boy, man, loving the Skins from there and to now. But anyway, we had a guy named Joe Theismann that beat around for until about 27, 28 years old. And this boy Heinicke, this whole team is mirroring that first-year Gibbs team. Now, I'm not going to go too crazy on this because Rivera got a lot of problems. Joe Gibbs had support cast to help him, and Joe Gibbs was the greatest, as we all know. But this team is mirroring that team, man. You know, it started Joe Gibbs' first year, started out 0-5. We were ready to lynch Gibbs. Never been a head coach, man. Offensive coordinator for San Diego Chargers. How can this man be a head coach? And then next thing you know, hey, rolled it on out, man. You know, ended up, after the 0-5 start, I think they went 8-3 after that.
Yep.
I'm not saying this team's going to do the same thing, but it's starting to mirror it, you know, and getting my hopes up a little bit. Maybe Rivera can give Gibbs a call since he helped get him in there anyway and get a few tips on how to make this thing even better.
Thank you, Harry.
And, you know,
appreciate you, buddy. Let's see what happens. Not sure everybody's feeling the energy. Let's talk to Dwayne. Dwayne, what's up, man? You're on Gamut DC Listener Lines.
What's up, JP? What's up, B-Mitch?
What's up, man?
All right, three things. Man, Scary Terry, love that dude. Secondly, Cam Newton, shipment brand, to the logo, it's selfish. Who is he? Three things. I'm pumping the brakes on this whole ordeal. B-Mitch said it last week. Do not back up into the playoffs. That's my take, guys.
Hey, Dwayne, is your last name Haskins?
hell no.
All right. I don't know. You seem not too high on the Washington football team. I just wanted to be sure. Thought it was a fair question. Let's go to Brian in Georgetown.
That was good right there.
Seriously. Brian, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitch Finley.
Hey, brothers.
What's up, man?
First and foremost, you two, B. Mitch, I've been a fan of yours since you started. Correct me if I'm wrong. Monday Night Football, you were called in to be the quarterback. It goes way back. And then, of course, JP, brother, I love your work with all you've done since you've been on the beat. You guys are amazing. You helped me through the last 2.5 years when I wife's cancer, so I am very grateful to be online.
We appreciate you, man.
I just we talk about Heinicke, right? Why don't we just let the kid play it out? You know, he's so new. I'm guessing less than 10 games. Please forgive me. I'm off on the numbers, but let's let him play it out. You know, like, let's see what happens. He's okay. But I grew up in the posse. And you know what's crazy? I was just thinking yesterday watching the game. Like, it was so nice to watch a game where we're competitive and to have, like, you know, DeAndre Carter is blowing me away. The guy's on, what, a $900 salary compared to Curtis Samuel, we have not even seen on the playing field at, what, $34 million or something like that, if I'm wrong.
Guaranteed about 26. Brian, appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the kind words, brother.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
I'll say this. I like DeAndre Carter a lot, Lanville. I like him a lot. Great story. Let's not confuse him with DeAndre Hopkins.
Nah. Just made a mistake, man.
Is this the Savannah in Arlington? Let's find out. Savannah, what's up? You're on the Gambit DC Listener Lines.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to touch base about this Heinicke thing. Like, don't get me wrong, I really do like him. But I'm kind of going to go with B. Mitch here. Like, I just want to see some consistency. I like what I've seen the past couple of games. But, I mean, a couple weeks ago, people were ready to throw in Kyle Allen, see what, you know, give him some practice. But anyway, hopefully we see some, like I said, more consistency out of Heinicke. But that's all I got.
All right, is this me, Savannah?
This is her.
All right. Appreciate you listening. We'll see you tonight.
Right, thank you.
We'll see you tonight. Maybe you can take a picture with me this time.
All right. Sounds good.
I'm going to show up. Make sure you don't take a picture with me.
No, but you know, I think that's fair about
Heinicke. This is the thing, though.
But almost every quarterback out there has inconsistent games.
Yeah, they do. But last week, we all knew and we heard, and it came from that building, that was a kind of a starting to be a push towards. And now he's like, oh, Lord, you want to keep him? No, let's let him play it out. You know, and that's, I think that's the whole thing, because what I've noticed over the time, my time here, we put the extra pressure on the quarterbacks, and then once they can't live up to it, then we are the first one to kick them out of town. So if you let them just play it, whatever they're going to be, they're going to be. Believe me. But that the decision makers were thinking about moving to the next person.
Right.
And the thing about, people look at this game and they see, oh, but it's other stuff that people look for. I would say probably his best game as far as how it ended up, but he threw about 10 balls off the back foot. And a lot of them floats.
B, I've never seen this. The touchdown pass to Cam Sims. I've seen plenty of NFL quarterbacks thread the needle in a tight window throw like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Especially in the red zone where windows are tight anyway.
Yeah.
I've never seen a floater thread the needle like that.
That wasn't a floater yesterday.
It wasn't a laser like you see from other quarterbacks.
You go back and check that one out again. He got something extra on that. He was off the back foot, but he got a little bit more oomph to that ball.
Certainly.
Zipped past three people.
But did it zip? It got past him, certainly. No, it was a stunner.
He didn't throw a howitzer. He threw something a little less. Whatever, what's less than that? He didn't have a 30. He didn't have a 30-yard six. He had like a.
Cody, you're the gun expert.
A 30-30.
30-30?
I don't. I'm out of my depth here, boys. I don't know. I'm just saying. Usually that throw is a laser, and he.
It was a laser for him.
Yeah.
And yesterday I made this comparison.
That's fair.
I didn't make the comparison, but I brought up something for people.
My point is he was able to make it work.
Yeah, Torrey and I were doing a thing on the two different quarterbacks and how they deliver the ball and different things. And while I was talking, I remembered my rookie season playing against the 49ers, I think it was. And I watched Joe Montana, and I'm like, this dude's arm is not strong at all. But the thing about him, he was able to anticipate routes, anticipate where guys were going to go, and he threw the ball soon enough. I watched Jerry Rice running, and the ball was in the air. And as soon as Jerry hit that outside foot and turned in, the ball stuck to him. But he didn't have a strong arm. So the thing about, like, and we both agreed that Cam, who used to have that strong arm, now he doesn't, so he has to anticipate. Taylor, in the last game against Tampa, was anticipating a little bit more, which means you don't have to have that much arm strength. You know, the guy with arm strength, you know what he does? He waits late and he throws it and he can get away with it sometimes, like a Brett Favre used to do. And Taylor Heinicke loves Brett Favre. But he needs to be more like Brady.
Dude, even Peyton didn't have the strongest arm out there. He was just so smart.
No, he didn't look like he did. He got strong arm.
Of course. I mean, yeah. I'm saying, like, the strongest armed quarterback was Jeff George.
If he
right?
could be like Montana. If he could be like Montana. Brady, them, we can anticipate stuff happening. He can get away with it.
Did you hear on the call yesterday, Mark Sanchez was on the call, and he talked about that fourth down play we've referenced a bunch, the throw to John Bates. He called that absolutely Farvian. This, the playmaking ability is not something you can deny. Now, it's not all good, but, man, when you make plays like that, it gives your team a different element that not every team has.
Sure.
There's something intrinsic about that you can't.
See, this is how I'll show it to you a little bit. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. I'll remember it.
All right.
I'm not you. I'll remember.
All right. We'll find out if B. Mitch will actually remember what he wants to tell me next on The Fan. Somebody call the police. There was an attempted murder in the bullpen. Credit. I want Anthony to hear me. He gets big credit for catching that pass. Anthony Haney is a dummy. He always tries to challenge B-Mitch in physical contests, and B-Mitch generally hurts him.
I don't want to hurt him.
They were throwing the football.
He's my friend.
I love Ant, but his repeated attempts to physically compete with you are stupid.
It's worth pointing out, he's like 105 pounds.
he's jacked, though. Like, he's all muscle, but he is maybe 107 pounds.
Bones.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I don't know. But B-Mitch and him are playing this game where they're throwing football as hard as they can at each other. And
from like 5 feet.
Right.
And farther than 5 feet.
I bet it was like 12 yards.
And ball came like a kick.
So B-Mitch was the first one to drop one.
Yeah, because it looked like a damn kick.
Whatever, you didn't catch it. And I knew that after that, Brian was going to throw the ball incredibly hard. Brian, sure enough, threw the ball incredibly hard right at Anthony's face, well, and he caught it.
If you throw it at somebody's face, he batted it up, then he caught it.
I would have just ducked.
I don't call that no catch.
I would have.
Gotta catch the first knock.
But hold on. So the one that he caught doesn't count as a catch, but the one that you didn't catch doesn't count because it wasn't a good throw?
I mean, we throwing the ball here. He throws it over here. It looked like an end over end. Hell, I'm not. If I see you throwing the ball, I'm looking for a spiral, not a kick.
Landfill, does that sound a little bit like that's not rain?
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Hey, man. When you see the guys after practice catching a ball from the the machine,
the jugs machine, sure.
Do you ever see one come out like that?
No.
Okay. Case closed. Let's go back to my story. All right. What I wanted to say is this: last night we were talking about Taylor Heinicke and his ability and all, which I agree. The guy, he's as competitive as they come. Did you watch the young man Justin Herbert last night?
Yeah.
Is he in that same category?
He's better.
No. Is Taylor in Justin's category?
No.
So what I'm trying to say is you see things, but then you also see what you could possibly get if you were to get somebody else.
Sure.
And I think that's the thing that people have to understand. You could see some playmaking ability at a certain level, but there's some stuff out there that's 10 times better.
Totally.
And at this point, on this roster, you probably don't have it. But when I see Justin Herbert, who's in his real second year, I'm going with no hypothetical rookie year. I see a guy who's light years better.
Totally agree. So that's if we're comparing.
But I'm trying to say that's why when you see coaches and people who don't settle or get so happy because they see constant little things. Justin Herbert is a true second-year guy where he makes some mistakes, yes, still. But he don't make some of them that Taylor constantly makes, too.
I think if you can, one of the points you consistently have made that I think is really, really smart, if they identify a quarterback that they're going to go 100% in on to build this team in the draft, take him. I think Heinicke can still have a role because maybe you don't want that kid to play right away.
Yeah, I'm with that.
And you're going to need a backup eventually, regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you identify that guy, do it. And if you can go get, I don't think this will happen, if you can get Aaron Rodgers, go get Aaron Rodgers. Well, if you can get Justin Herbert, go get Justin Herbert.
Did you not see what the Denver Broncos did over the last 2 weeks? They signed Patrick to a long-term deal. They just signed Sutton to a four-year deal today. I think that they are pushing to get Aaron Rodgers there next year.
I don't think. My point is I don't think Washington's going to get Aaron Rodgers. If you can get an obvious upgrade, do it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to get some other middling guy, stick with Taylor.
I understand that. But the thing of it is, you're always trying to get the better guy.
Phone lines remain packed. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. We're going to hear from Terry McLaurin in just a few minutes. Right now, let's hear from my guy, Rick. Rick down in North Carolina. Rick, what's up, buddy? You're on with B-Mitch and Finley.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today? Victory Monday.
Whatever. Victory Monday, man.
We just want to see the team keep improving, which is happening, and Taylor be consistent, Tony Gibson, I don't think he has a fumbling problem. He's fumbling at the wrong time, but I think he'll get better because he's only been a running back basically 2 years.
When's a good time to fumble?
There's no really good time, but but the thing about it is funny that his fumbles are in our territory. I don't think the fumbles, well, that one fumble with the Saint Los Angeles Chargers did cost us because he fumbled in our end of the field. But I think he, when Ron set him down, I think a little far under him. Yeah. And with Taylor Heinicke, you know, I'm looking at the other quarterbacks that are in contention with us for the playoffs. You got Kirk Cousins, the best one, and you got Jimmy Garoppolo, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Siemian, and Matt Ryan, and Taylor Heinicke. These are the quarterbacks that you have to face going forward in the playoffs. And I think if he protects the ball and we can win the ball, I think we are in good shape.
All right, man.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you, buddy. Right,
thank you.
All right. Like, you know, when I hear he's just been a running back for a certain period of time, he was returning kicks, punts, and running the ball a lot at receiver. A ball carrier is a ball carrier. You just got to know when to put the second hand over the football. Tiki Barber had a fumbling problem. When you fumble often, it's a problem. And Tiki Barber began to run with the ball high and tight. And he looked funny.
He put two hands on it anytime he's in traffic.
But he looked funny.
Yeah, he did.
But he stopped fumbling it. And I think that's the ultimate thing, because as much as people will try to act like, you know, we may be harping on this, I saw playing time get taken away yesterday after that fumble.
Yep.
And
I think it was the right move.
And the two dudes that came in, they running the ball. They were getting it done.
And I understand and agree this is only his second year as a running back, right? But that can't matter. Like, you're a running back now.
But the thing of it is, you don't just carry the ball when you're a running back.
Right.
You carry it as a kick returner, a punt returner, a wide receiver, or a receiver running the reverse. You do it all those times. So he was doing that too. But I say this, the difference is he wasn't in a lot of traffic before. And now he has to know to bring that extra hand in there. You know, because I know, I watched him yesterday early in the game. He'll get, as soon as he takes the hand off, it's immediately in one hand. You haven't even gotten through the line of scrimmage yet. But in the, once he came back on the field, it was 2 to 3 steps, maybe 4, before that hand came off that football. So,
yeah,
he learned quickly. And he has a coach who understands. So, talking about Randy.
Yeah, for sure. And they work on it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Carlos in Severna Park. Los, what's up, man?
Happy victory Monday, gentlemen.
Happy victory Monday, buddy.
Taylor Heinicke, man, amazing. Love the story. Can't wait for the game. I'm actually going to the game on Monday, so I'm looking forward to that. Five of us friends, I'm 2-2 for victory games that I've gone through this season. This is a revenge game, man. This is a revenge game for the whole Carolina, well, I'm sorry, Washington, former Carolina staff, current Washington team, and including the kicker, because he was also fired by Carolina. And I'm going to say this, the one thing that I am still mad about to this day with the defense, what is the point of me having an 80-inch flat-screen TV if I can't see the cornerbacks pressing the wide receivers? I can get a bigger TV, and I still won't see our cornerbacks pressing out.
I'm thinking you're pressing them.
You can watch it at the movie theater. You probably won't see them in the picture.
You can go to an IMAX. Thank you, Carlos. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Oh, man. You almost messed that up.
I had a lot going on in my head there. I was trying to get it out without messing up.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from Terry McLaurin in just a minute here. I did want to ask Lanville something. Lanville, I might have an idea for you.
Wait.
We've talked about this.
You have an idea?
Just, this isn't from me. This is from St. Louis.
Oh.
We've talked about inflation when we have Ben White on every Wednesday, right? It's a real thing. You go to the, you fill up your gas tank, you feel like you're going broke, you buy groceries, it's a lot of money. The St. Louis Fed, which I guess is the St. Louis Federal Reserve, they have an idea to help you battle inflation, Lanville. Instead of turkey for Thanksgiving, get a tofu turkey. And the cost drops significantly. Turkey, tofu turkey.
And the taste probably going to drop significantly, too.
Let me tell you this. I'm on record not really liking turkey. I hate tofu turkey, and I've never even had it.
I think I'd rather be dead than have tofu turkey.
Like,
straight up.
Maybe
You can get chicken.
Maybe there's a time for tofu turkey.
Nope.
But it's not Thanksgiving. Pilgrims eat tofu? You show me a pilgrim that ate some tofu.
I'm all out.
My daughter told me, Dad, we could do something different this year. I said, what's that? She said, we could do the fried. You ever had fried fried ribs?
Fried tofu?
Fried ribs.
I have not. Like to.
Let me tell you.
Do you own a deep fryer or do you fry it outside? Like in the. Or is that a deep fryer?
That's outside.
No, but does anybody have like what restaurants have in their house? Like a deep fryer like that?
It's in my garage.
It's the big like circle joint.
No, it's not a circle. It's really like more squared.
Where you drop the things in like McDonald's makes
baskets,
the french fries?
Yeah.
Damn, that's living, Landfill. Have you ever deep fried tofu?
No.
Are you going to try it?
I don't think I've ever eaten tofu.
You've never eaten tofu is gross, but it's just like a vehicle for sauce. So like,
you know, no, I eat the real stuff. I don't want no tofu.
Well, listen, if you go to St. Louis Federal Reserve, they're telling you, Cody, are you in on tofurkey? I think that's what it's called.
I'm so out on that. Tofurkey. That sounds horrible.
This is
say that real fast. You're going to say some bad words. I promise you that.
This is real life. The St. Louis Federal Reserve says a Thanksgiving dinner serving of poultry costs $1.42. A soybean based dinner serving with the same amount of calories costs 66 cents.
Yep. But you got to pay $8.95 to go get something else later because you're going to feel like you're hungry as hell.
And it might only cost 66 cents per serving, but you're going to want to die the whole time.
Is the desire to live worth 70 plus cents?
I think I'd rather starve than eat tofu turkey.
I'd rather starve than eat your tofu turkey. Yeah, that was a little Pearl Jam lyric for you. But
it's not Pearl Jam.
The song.
Oh, yeah, you're
singing?
Right.
Yeah, it is. Hater.
And you're right.
Listen, if somebody, I mean this sincerely, if somebody out there is in a situation where you got to eat tofu turkey instead of real turkey, hit me up. I will cover the cost to get you a real turkey. Because this is America, damn it.
Hold on. You better put a cap on that real quick.
There's a cap on that. If lawyers are listening, it's not a real offer. If somebody needs 70 cents per person so they can have actual turkey instead of tofu turkey, we'll make something work.
J.P. Finley said that.
Although, dude, the same article, you know how much turkeys have gone up? 24% more this year than last year. I'll try to do live math. So if a turkey cost $10 last year, $12.50
this year. That's not going to stop me from eating turkey.
Me either. But maybe some people it does. Just get chicken, people.
I think the calculation might be wrong, but still. Anyway.
How? What was wrong?
I
did 25%.
If you do anything 12, with math, I'm going to automatically assume it's wrong.
Listen, man, let's help the people. If you're considering eating tofu for
before
Thanksgiving,
before you
hit
come
me
here
up.
Talking about math again, you make sure you talk to baby girl and see if it's right.
All right. Next, Terry McLaurin, 1 o'clock, your calls. Plus, there's a lot of good news floating around, but we got to talk Jamin Davis a little bit. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7, The Fan. Hitting the phone lines all day, 800-636-1067. But right now, let's hear from Terry McLaurin. I got to catch up with the stud receiver after the win yesterday and ask him just how good that felt.
We're feeling good. That's two wins in a row, which we haven't done in a while. And to come in a tough environment when we knew they'd have a lot of energy with Cam being back and you know, a lot of the motions with a lot of our coaches being from here and things like that. We just wanted to come in and play physical football. And to come out here with this win, play four quarters like we did, defense stepped up, offense stepped up. You know, we got some momentum, so hopefully we can keep it going.
What was the vibe like? What was the juice like out there?
Yeah.
I could feel it. Yeah. I'm not on the field.
Right. We felt really loose out there today, man. I felt like we felt really confident coming in. We had a great week of preparation again. And, you know, we knew what this game meant. We knew what this game meant for our staff, but we knew what it meant for us as a football team and how we could build on what we did last week. And I feel like we did that. Did we play perfect? No. But, you know, we came out with the win, so we're feeling good going back home.
You know,
Ron, when you guys were losing earlier in the year, Ron kept saying how close he felt the team was,
right,
and that everybody was sticking together.
Right.
Do you feel like that is all starting to work now and you guys are able to kind of keep this going?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put the cart before the horse, and I think what we've done a good job of up until this point is taking it day by day, practice by practice, and game by game. And one thing we haven't done, though, is fell apart and pointed fingers. We've always stuck together through the highs and the lows, and that's what we're going to have to continue to do if we want to have the second half of the stretch that we want to have. So I'm looking forward to see how we continue to grow as a team and get better and going into Monday night, which is another a big game for us, and we're looking forward to it.
Five catches, 103 yards, and the touchdown. How do you – it's your 400-yard game this season. How do you continue to elevate your game?
I just want to be ready when my number's called, honestly. Being the leader that I am and the player that I am, I try to put the work in during practice, listen to Drew and Hoss, the way they coach us up. You know, I'm just happy to be the leader of this group, man, and not just on the offense but the team. And when you're that guy, you got to come out and be consistent, and that's what I'm just trying to strive to do each and every game. And I'm just so happy to play with the guys that I do. A lot of guys stepped up today, not just myself. So it's good when the ball's flying around and everybody's making plays.
Obviously, it was Ron's return.
Yeah.
It was Cam's return. Keep going down that list a little bit. It was also Heinicke's return
to
Carolina. What can you say about your quarterback?
Yeah, he had a little edge to him today. You could feel it. He didn't say much, and I think things really turned when he tried to take that slide and the guy hit him, you know, for that penalty. He didn't appreciate that too much. But at the same time, he kept a level head. I feel like he put us in situations to be successful. He ran when he had to. He took care of the ball, and he put the ball out there for us to make plays as receivers. And that's all you could ask for, man. And I think that fourth down where Bates came through and made that catch, for him to keep that play alive, a lot of people may not pay attention to that, but that's a huge play. It allows us to run more clock and keep the drive going.
He pulled a rabbit out of a hat on that.
Yeah, he did.
He's all the way over there, buried. Last one, your offensive line. I know you're out on the edges, but those guys are so banged up.
Yeah.
You're running the ball really well.
Yeah.
How is it to watch them just continue to evolve?
Yeah.
New guys coming in and out on different snaps.
Yeah, I wanted the camera to see. I love playing with our offensive line, man. The way they come out each and every practice, Coach Maskell's tough on them, but they're prepared for each and every game, no matter who's in there. You saw Wes come in and have to play center when somebody went down. So that's what it's about, man, guys stepping up and be ready. And they want that brunt of the load on their shoulders. They want to be able to be physical up front and set the line of scrimmage. That's important when we're going down the rest of the season, and especially when we get into conference play. You got to be able to win the game in the trenches. And I feel like our O-line is doing really well, and they're going to continue to keep growing.
Terry, thank you so much for the time. Congrats, man.
Appreciate you, JP. It's great.
An extra day of rest this week.
I love that. I love that.
All right, that's JP Finley talking to Terry McLaurin. As he always does, he disappears when he has a job to do. We're going to talk for a little bit longer since you come back in the studio. Now, what's going on, brother?
Dude, I was standing right there.
Why are you out of breath?
Because Cody and I are throwing the football around.
You were sitting right here as I looked at you. You were not throwing a football.
We were doing stuff. I'm not out of breath. I have breath.
Not much.
Might not be good either after that cheesesteak. Terry's just so impressive every time you speak to him.
Yeah, that dude right there lived before. He doesn't seem like a guy who just has done this for his third year now.
Third season.
He's just like his rookie season when he came in. We were like, man, this guy, he's not 24 or 25. He's not a rookie.
The only question with Terry McLaurin is how big should the bag of cash be to get him to sign an extension?
Well, they better do it. It may hit 20 or more per.
That's a lot, you think?
Hell yeah. What's the top receiver getting now?
I'm pulling it up right now.
And you're talking about him being in his third year, multiple quarterbacks, nobody being considered a top-notch guy, and the numbers he's put up, can he not command about
DeAndre
19
Hopkins.
To 20?
Yeah, you're right, dude.
Please.
DeAndre Hopkins is making 27. Julio's making
27
22.
A year?
Yeah.
Man, hell, he's going to go 25 or more then.
I think the franchise tag at receiver this season, I think Allen Robinson got franchised by the Bears, is 18 mil.
Next year's over 19. Over 20.
Right. There's no way he's taking less than that.
Hell no, and he shouldn't.
What was what's the deal Sutton just got?
4 years, 60-something million.
He's getting more than that.
I think 65 million.
Well, he's also he's done more than Sutton has. Oh, Rappaport just said they expect Logan Thomas to practice this week. not fully cleared, but they're going to take him off IR. That's some good news.
Mm-hmm.
If they get Curtis Samuel back Monday night, interesting things afoot. Now, Courtland Sutton, I'm seeing 4 years, 61 mil.
So that's
35 guaranteed.
15 a year.
Probably 16 because it's 35 guaranteed. So it's 15 and 5.
17.5 a year.
Thank you for doing the math, not me.
For 2 years, you're saying, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll help you out. Just ask me. I don't have a problem doing it.
So if Sutton is getting that, I'm going to pull up his stats. He's been good, and they've had, obviously, quarterback trouble out there. But Terry's better than that. When, if you were Terry's agent, when would you want this to start? Like, when do you want an extension?
I'll take one at the coming up at the end of this year and next year, but don't come and offer me no BS, because at that point, then I'm going to have to play hardball with you. Because you have a kid who doesn't get in trouble, who's a workaholic, who makes plays over and over again. When he's put in awkward situations to go get ball, he gets them.
Yep.
You don't want to – that's what you want to keep on your team. You want to definitely keep that on your football team.
Now, the difference with Sutton is he – it was in the final year of his contract, so you got to get it done now because he is, what, 2 months away from being a free agent?
Sutton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into the season without an extension done for McLaurin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to get to free agency. Because the only thing that's going to happen is if you wait till free agency opens, the price goes up.
It goes way up.
That's the only thing that happens, because then he'll see contracts other receivers get and be like, all right, well, I want that much.
And he's been seen as the guy who is the guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And you don't want players to say, well, they're treating him wrong and this, that, and the other.
Here's what we got to do.
All he's done was do everything they asked him to do.
Phone lines remain open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Some folks have been on hold a long time. Don't worry. We're going to get to everybody. I also want to talk Jamin Davis, and I want to ask, what's the better win, Carolina or Tampa? Doing that next.